we are the dreamers of dreams.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to my podcast. How are you guys? How are my people? I hope y'all are doing amazing this Thursday. I'm back to releasing episodes on Thursday, so I'm glad to have some consistency back in my life. Today is going to be a very chill, nice episode. I feel like I asked on my page, different like episode ideas on what I wanted to talk about. And everyone answered. So I'm glad that people answered. So I'm taking those suggestions very seriously. And today I just want to say hi. I hope you all are doing good. And welcome to episode 7 of A Touch of Gen Z. I am your host, Peter Mutia, the host who does the most, just the host who does the least, but you seem to doing the most. And today I'm here with a wonderful guest. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Annette Mishatha, and I'm a fashion stylist and also a student.
Yes, today we're with Annette. I know some of you already know her. I know some of you have seen her style. Her reels are really amazing. I love her reels with Nailsula.
Thank you.
I mean, the fits are always fitting.
You know how we do, you know the vibes.
Yeah. So today, as we've said from the title of the episode, we're just going to be talking about fashion. It's very much a big part of our lives. I feel like our deepest desire as human beings is to feel seen, and through we feel seen when, you know, we have a good fit. Like that shit, like it gives you so much courage to like move on through your day, and so much confidence. Like when you're looking good and then you're told that you're looking good, definitely, that validation is all, it's always something like I look forward to. And so I feel like I should start with asking, how did you get into fashion? And yeah, how did you get into, you know, making, and you know, just your style basically?
Okay, so how I got into fashion was kind of just eased into it. My mom is the OG drip god. Mm-hmm. She really used to dress us up really good.
The style, back in the days was, yeah, that was it.
We were really dripped out. And as I grew up, I started picking up like a few tips from her, like how she styles colors, dresses, you know, how if she wants to look taller, how she's gonna dress. If she wants to look more chilled, the fit she's gonna wear. And, you know, it just became ingrained in me. Yeah. And as much as, you know, when you're growing up with your parents, they don't really agree with your style.
Exactly.
Especially when you're a teenager and you want to wear whatever you want. You know, as long as you're under their roof, they're like, no, you can't wear this, you can't wear this. So when I went into college, I had more freedom. I could buy my own clothes, and I started getting compliments on my outfits, and also my friends would encourage me to, you know, be more out there on the internet and all. So, you know, I just started doing that, became better at it, and that's where we are now.
I know that's right. I've followed you for some time, and I've seen your style.
Appreciate that.
I mean, you always, your feet, I give you respect.
That's what you like to hear. When you look good, you feel good.
You know, as I said, like it's that validation, your fit looks nice. It's always, and you know, the thing is, especially like now, as you mentioned, when we're teenagers and you're living under your parents' roof, there's this very, you have to like, you know, fit in with their aesthetic.
Exactly.
And what they view you should be wearing, you know. So when now we become adults and now we start buying our own clothes and now we start stepping into our own aesthetic, and then now you get that validation from other people, that sticks with you. I feel
definitely,
like that's, that really sticks with you.
Because, you know, your style is also a part of you.
It's that's very true.
An extension of you, of who you are, what you believe in. So I, you know, it's nice that I have that freedom now and I can dress out of my comfort zone, in my comfort zone, out of my style, in my style.
Yeah. Feels great. Yeah. It does. It actually does. And as you said, it's an expression of you and how, like, you also, like, move. You understand? Like, even the way you, like, dress, like, there are certain things that will connote that dress into, like, what you're doing. It's very,
exactly,
like...
Exactly, I like
it's
that.
It's an outward part of you that you're expressing. You know, like, you're expressing yourself outwardly to other people. And so, like... I feel like with style, there's also like progression in the sense that, okay, speaking from a personal point of view, like I finished high school, now is when I started buying my own clothes. And then I'm just there. I went from a very preppy, you know, I used to wear very preppy clothes like shirt, trousers, boots, which was annoying because I was in UN. Why was I doing that? I should have been exploring more. And then now I feel like during COVID, I was introduced to this beautiful app called Pinterest and I started using it way more and way more. And then now I started like elevating my style to a bit more my style, which is now like very earthy. I describe my style as, you know, librarian. You know, just librarian who likes going out for dinner. Like, literally.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
There's that mix of chill, laid-back cardigans with a nice T-shirt and jeans and, like, and just... these are high, lows, whatever they're called. like, just sneakers. And then now we go out in the dinnerware and I like a really nice floral... Not really floral, but, like, a outwardly spoken T-shirt, nice jacket, really nice jeans, and then boots. And then, yeah, just kind of, like, double through that. And so I feel like navigating my style has been very... It's been an interesting journey. Also, I went through a period where I... And we'll get into body image later. I went through a period where, like, I lost a bunch of weight. Mm-hmm. And so, like, a bunch of these clothes that I had never used to fit me. And that kind of just, like... Also... It also, like, you can see there's a very, like, I remember when I was a bit bigger, I'd go to, like, these retail stores because that's where at least I could get my clothes. Because whenever I went thrifting, I never used to get, I was a size 36, 38, actually, yeah, so more 38 of Nini, like,
waist.
Jeans waist. Oh. So I really never used to find my jeans a lot. You know, you'd go to the men's section, you just find 28, 32, 28, 32, 28, 32. And now that I'm a size 34, like, at least now I get my clothes more. So, yeah, I would, like, now we're in the topic of body image. I feel like also navigating your style as a slightly, like, larger person in this... especially in this now today where the model of fashion is very skinny, you know.
Definitely.
It's very hard. And especially now in retail stores, you don't really get much of like your own style because everyone is wearing the same thing. Like if you're shopping at LC Waikiki, I'm betting you will see another shirt.
Definitely,
of the
yeah.
same. So like it's very hard. It's interesting. I don't know. What's your take on that?
My take on that is I definitely agree the body size is skinny, size 0 to size 10.
Literally.
However, there's been a new, what's the word, upcoming plus size models.
Yeah.
As much as they're not being given the attention that they deserve.
Exactly.
You know, at least it's something that we've broken through and there are plus size models, but I feel like the real criminals in that are us skinny people as well, because currently I'm wearing an oversized short and an oversized shirt. You see, that's not my size, and if someone who's this size once these clothes, they can't get it because I've already gotten them.
So even like even me, as in my favorite shirts are XXL. Like you know, like
same.
I love a big shirt.
I love a big shirt as well.
And I'm actually I fall in part to that. Like I am also a criminal inside there because I always love an XXL shirt. That's especially if it's a graphic T-shirt, I will buy
Definitely,
that.
Yeah.
And now I'm not consciously thinking that you know someone who's actually this size will need this shirt. And me, you know, there are plenty of shirts my size that same style, and I'm not, you know, I'm contributing to that as well. I feel like a lot of us has fallen privy to that, so we need to stop.
Or can the
manufacturers
be
producing way more,
produce way more, because it's not like they can't. They have the facilities, they have the resources.
That's very
Why
true.
Can't they
be inclusive?
Be inclusive as well, especially in this age. Inclusivity is something very important.
It's very
there's
it
no
very
one standard size. And as much as we are saying we are finding we are taking those clothes, I mostly find those clothes when I'm thrifting, not when I go to a retail store. It's very hard to find. I think the last size is probably like an extra large. And, you know, an extra large to someone who's plus size will just fit them.
Yeah,
properly.
Exactly.
And, you know, if style is something we can't... Style is for everyone.
That's
if that
true.
Person wants an you know, a baggy fit, mm-hmm. they need a bigger shirt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they don't need that extra large shirt. So, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, the fashion industry and the value chain. They need to do something. They need to keep on manufacturing bigger sizes for, you know,
exactly,
plus size people.
Because there are a lot of plus size people and we need to be like, you know, inclusive of everyone so everyone can feel good in their dressing because that's the whole point of it.
And also on the flip side, you know, there are people who are... you know, under size zero because,
oh,
you know, because
yeah.
of dwarfism. There are people who, you know, got really sick and lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're forced to shop in the kids section,
oh,
which
damn.
Is very, you know, kind of dehumanizing.
It's very degrading.
You're
yeah.
also, you're, you know, you're also going to meet kids there and they're like, why the hell are you shopping here?
Exactly. And then you get those eyes
yeah,
and
you
those
get those
looks.
Eyes from their moms and
exactly.
it's like, you know, it's not your fault. Like, personally, my mom, she's size 3. Her feet. So if she's not going to get if she's not gonna get her
so small.
Yeah, it's so tiny.
Yeah.
So if she's not gonna get her size, she'll have to go to the kids section and get like sneakers from there.
Yeah.
And you know, like I feel bad for her, but you know, it's also the manufacturers.
It's also the manufacturer's problem,
yeah.
exactly. Especially now when talking about retail. Like the way they even like market their product, it's to very specific people.
Yeah, it's a very specific demographic.
Exactly. And it's not inclusive of what is actually happening on the ground. You know, most plus size people will go shop at retail stores because they think they'll get at a bigger size, but then you find you're not getting bigger sizes. You
yeah.
understand? And they run out so fast.
Definitely.
You know, speaking on kind of finding your style, I feel like as we enter like an era 2023 where we're breaking down gender norms, I feel like dressing more feminine has been something that has always been in my mind, but I feel like I've been so afraid to execute it. There's a time where I was like, I went to Think Twice at Ngara and then I found this really nice shirt. And then I went home and I turned it into a crop top and it looked so good. I was like, this is something I need to wear. But honestly, I was just there like, that you know, holding back of yourself is just like, should I? Because I was obviously, you know, I'm not saying that I'm afraid to like express myself the way I am because I love myself and I'm willing to do that. But also I'm not willing to go through scrutiny from a bunch of people
True.
Who think very backwardly. So yeah. Yeah, what's your take on that?
My take on that is I applaud you for that. You know, once you get out of your comfort zone, it's really scary at first, but when you look back, you'll see that you're incredibly brave. So to that, I'd say your safety is always number one priority.
Oh yeah, that's very true.
Yes. So if you can still dress more feminine, but ensure where you're going, you're safe. You know, if you're just hanging out with your friends, that's a safe environment.
Exactly.
And you know, you wouldn't, as much as we say you should ensure your safety is number one, you should also ensure your emotional safety is number one. You can't go to a place where
period.
You know, like people will start looking at you weirdly and it's like, that's what you want to wear. Gosh, clothes, it's 2023. Clothes have no gender.
Literally.
Clothes have no gender. We were actually supposed to be naked.
Exactly.
So you should be happy
Thank
you have
you.
Something.
You know,
on. It doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
So if you, because I also get that a lot. If I'm going to a place where, you know, there'll be a lot of people over 40 or something, I'll just tone it down, you know. I'll just tone it down a bit. But
yeah.
if I'm going for a party with my friends or with people,
oh yeah, that's
my
very
age,
true. Like I
I'm
really
just gonna
don't
let,
care.
Yeah, I
exactly.
don't care. I'm gonna let loose and
we're going
dress
to
how
like
I want.
Clubs like Alchemist or like clubs I know where just like no one cares.
Definitely.
Then definitely is when I'll think of like wearing that crop top. And it's not even the crop top, and I feel like feminine. I feel like nowadays it's just what, like, how you even present yourself mm-hmm. is what you don't need to, and also you don't need to fit into those trends. You know, true. If you feel like you do not have to dress feminine, you don't have to. Definitely. And also, as you said, clothes don't have gender. I remember there's a very interesting conversation I had with my mom. I'd gone out and then I'd worn a pearl necklace. And she's like, pearl necklaces are for women. One day I'll even take one for me. I'm just there like, what do you mean by that?
Definitely. Or when guys wear earrings and then their moms are just like, what do you mean? But to add on that, did you know that in the early, like, 1930s, around there,
mm-hmm.
men used to wear skirts?
Exactly.
So that, they used to wear skirts and heels. Butchers especially, so that they don't step on their blood.
Damn.
Yeah.
I have never known that.
Definitely. So you could, if you are in the 1930s, seen a man in a skirt would have been something
so normal.
Even heels.
Exactly.
But now, as time progresses, you know, people are so quick to point fingers and say, like, you know, a man shouldn't wear this, a man shouldn't wear this, a woman shouldn't wear this. But if you just, like, do a bit of research, clothes have no gender. Like,
exactly.
These are just pieces of clothing made practical. Actually, it's more practical for men to wear skirts than
women to wear skirts. Exactly. If you look at it, more practical. Exactly.
But, you know, people with fragile masculinity will argue otherwise, but that's on you. Like, because it's not that deep.
And people have noticed, like, you're just being indoctrinated. Like, who said all of these
exactly,
things?
Exactly. You know. Exactly. Who said that? You have to go back and reflect and really ask yourself, why do you feel so strongly about an opinion you have? It was definitely put upon you. Not
exactly.
You didn't thought,
it didn't come from you. So why are you defending it so strongly?
Definitely.
And I feel also with the men, like, topic, like, I feel like because of homophobia, like, so many men do not want to dress feminine, so they don't want to appear gay. But at the end of the day, like, if you know who you are, what does it bug? Like,
it just goes back to having fragile masculinity.
That's very true.
If you put all your value, I mean, if you put your value in your masculinity, you know, it just goes to show that you have no self-esteem and you have no worth as a man, because by virtue of you being a man, you're already masculine. Imagine,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have anything to prove.
You don't have,
so
yeah.
if you're scared that you look gay, that means, you know, there's something else that you're scared of.
That's very
and
true.
And it's, you know, you just have to reflect and really look in.
Where is this thing falling down anyways?
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay.
So, that's basically it. Because guys who know who they are not afraid of looking a certain way, because they know by virtue of you being a man, you are a man.
Exactly.
There's nothing taken from you.
Exactly. There's nothing. That crop top or that pearl necklace or those painted nails are not going to emasculate you if you know who you are.
Definitely.
Like,
yeah.
They are not going to take anything away from you. They are just accessories at the end of the day that you just put on your body. They are not telling anything about you. And also, I feel like, you know, I feel like also we've passed, okay, maybe you will tell me something different. I feel like we've also passed on the point of, like, I think we're past the point of, like, modesty, especially now that modesty that's been put on women to, like, dress a certain type of way to appeal to a certain type of, like, especially you can see this in the office, in the workforce, like, you're supposed to dress a certain way to appeal to some sort of men. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're past that barrading of women are saying that they're dressing like this for men, or like they're dressing this to get male attention. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're past that, but maybe you can tell me something different about, like, modesty in the sense of, like, clothing and in the sense of, like, it being barrated on women.
Well, I'd say modesty is very empowering if you think about it. Even our Muslim sisters really hold modesty up high and they look great for religious reasons, and
exactly.
Also just how they are still beautiful at the end of the day. I'd say that yes, there's an appeal to modesty for women, And, you know, if if you're really observant, you can kind of get some privilege out of that, because there's a reason why, you know, ladies will dress a certain way when they go to the club. Because, you know, if you have a good dress on, if you have makeup on, if you have some good heels on, there's probably a man who's going to, you know,
pay your bills.
Yeah, who's going to pay your whole bill, yeah, exactly, and, yeah, you know, you enjoy the night and all that. In the office, I'd say the same as well. You know, we're always, especially because of sexual harassment, women are told not to wear, you know, skirts that are above the knee or tops that expose our shoulders and all that. And, you know, it's very victim blaming, because
it is victim blaming.
Still, at the end of the day, if I wear a skirt that's to my ankles, I'll still be sexually harassed by a man.
That's
men will
true.
Always find a way to harass us.
Exactly.
So, you know, we should, as much as you should maintain a level of professionalism, we should stop kind of blaming it on the dress code, because that plays a lot in
victim blaming. It's a very harmful narrative.
Yeah, it is. Because I watched another interview of Gabrielle Union, and she was saying she was raped at her office at gunpoint, and HR was still asking her what she was wearing. And it doesn't matter. He had a gun at the end of the day. And, you know, it's such a harmful rhetoric, and it should just stop completely.
Honestly, you've put that very perfectly. Mm. I feel like victim blaming is something that is disgusting, and we should get past it, because it is not the victim's fault for whatever that that action happened. You know, and I feel like with, what do you call it, as we're going back to modesty, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's very... I feel like my thoughts are very everywhere right now. But I feel like with modesty also, it depends on the person. It's very personal, in the sense that someone can think that they've worn a short... Someone will wear a short dress and think they're modest and they're fine with it.
Mm.
And, you know, someone will wear... be fully clothed and they still think there's some... Like, you know, it very depends on the person. I'm thinking of this video of... You know, Aaliyah's interlude on Instagram?
Yeah.
On TikTok.
Yeah.
She did, Aaliyah call for hijabis, and it wasn't received very well, in the sense mm-hmm. that it was still, you know, somehow revealing.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like, but basically if I looked at it, it wasn't revealing. So you see, like, modesty is very...
It's relative.
It's very relative to the person themselves. And yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's on
Definitely.
That's on that. Yeah, so let's go down to, like, the beauty standard.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud our generation for, like, kind of demystifying and breaking down the beauty standard from, like, very white, you know, Scandinavian features.
Man.
I applaud that. I feel like... everyone can be beautiful. I'm seeing that during runways. I'm seeing people of color during runways. I'm seeing people who are a bit bigger during runway shows. And I love what kind of, like, people are doing. But I don't want it to be like a diversity call. I just want it to be the way it should be, the norm.
Definitely,
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want those people to be there for the sense of, like, diversity. Like, when I see a Duta Ketch and then 600 white models, I'm like, you've put her there, you've highlighted her because of the diversity, I mean. So then when you put, like, I think her name is Maloma, she's a plus size model, and then everyone else is skinny as hell, like, you know, you're just like, like, I don't want it to be a diversity call. I want it to be, like, the norm. I want to see skinny people. I want to see people who are a bit bigger. I want to see people who are dark. I want to see people who are brown. I want to see all, like, representations or, like, a runway or, like, any advertisement of fashion, basically, because we all need clothes. Like, we're not nudists. So, like, we need clothes. We need clothes. And so when you advertise it, make sure it's general. Make sure it's inclusive.
To add on that, I also have gotten into accessibility for the disabled.
We
really don't think about them because, you know, we don't have those struggles. But, you know, there's a way clothes can be manufactured to provide maximum comfort to someone who's always in a wheelchair, to someone who doesn't walk properly, to someone who has an issue with their leg. You know, I feel like the big brands should also look into that. And, you know, with that, you're also empowering disabled people because those are the same people that will model as well.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
Model for those same clothes. And, you know, it's just something to think about. You shouldn't always think about yourself or, you know, someone like you. You should always think about everyone in the world so that it's fair.
I watched a documentary for the Abercrombie, like, whites. They used to hire, basically, even for, like, their own stores and their models. They used to be very white. You had to be, like, white, fit. Like, if you're a man, you had to have abs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where you're being told, like, you need to take your shirt off. And you're being, it's not even, you're not even, like, going in for a modeling job. You're going in for a retail store job. Yeah, and if you were a woman, you had to be skinny, blonde, and blue-eyed, and white.
Damn.
And so I feel like, if you go to the Abercrombie website now, because of they were called out for their shit, like, you'll see very diverse, it's a very diverse group of people now. But also,
how it should be.
How it should be, like, that's what I'm saying, hold these people accountable.
Definitely.
I feel like one fashion house that have done amazing in accountability, not accountability, but diversity, and diversity that just looks so natural, it doesn't feel like they're trying to fulfill some type of diverse woke, you know, statement so that they can sell their fashion, is basically Savage, like Savage Fenty.
Oh yeah,
shows,
yeah, I love it,
are always beautiful, like it's always something diverse. Did you watch Volume 4?
Nope. I haven't watched it yet.
I feel like I loved Volume 4, not one of my favorites. I feel like my favorite was Volume 3, where Jasmine Sullivan and all, like, just all those people were in that building. Anyways, I feel like Rihanna does diversity in fashion without trying. Like, it's just so inclusive. You don't feel like she's trying to make a statement of diversity. She's just putting people in clothes and walking. I love Savage Fenty for, you know, doing that. I feel like that's one of my favorite fashion shows to ever watch. How about you?
Okay. It's kind of biased because, you know, especially because Paris Fashion Week just passed. I've been watching my favorite clothing lines. So I haven't been watching all.
No, obviously, even me, I don't watch all.
I only watch
one, which is Prada.
I watch Prada.
I just watch one, which is Prada.
I watched a bit of Burberry's. Yeah, I think those are the only ones I watched. So I think those are my favorite, kind of.
I feel
not
like
really. I have a lot of favorites, depending on, because, you know, there are lines that deal with statement pieces, because at the end of the day, fashion is art.
It really
so
is.
So you don't have to make a cloth that someone is going to wear practically. You know, you just want to show off your creativity. So there are those lines. There are lines that, you know, deal with practicality, but class and all that. So, yeah, basically.
I feel like Prada has always been my favorite. Also, it's that there's also that, you know, expensive fashion that you've always dreamed of having. You know, I've always wanted that, you know, I always wanted to, like, walk into work and you have that white shirt with the Prada tie, then you know the sun is always in the middle.
Yes,
there.
Yeah.
You see, I've always wanted, have you ever seen, like, what do you call them? Kelly, Hermes, like, bags, but not the bags really, like the briefcases, sort of. That's always been a dream of mine.
I also love the Prada loafers. Like, those ones.
Oh, yes.
I think I'm just going to buy them with my first paycheck.
Same. I don't know. I think I'll have to jump someone first.
Definitely. We'll have to get them
one way or another. I feel like also something, there's this fashion, like, trend that happened during late 2019. It was the Gucci snake boots. Like, they were normal black boots, but the sole was like a feature of a snake.
Damn.
Those have been on my Pinterest board ever since. They never leave there. Like,
what?
Pinned,
We're gonna get them.
I feel like also with high fashion, with expensive fashion, like, it's I don't think it's a must in my sense of it. Because I feel right now I'm wearing 150 bob t-shirt. My jeans are from where? I don't know where I got these gray jeans from. The shoes are expensive, but I've had them for some time. They were 3,500. And the jeans, I promise I do not remember. But yeah, like my outfit doesn't go beyond like 5 G's. And if you remove the shoes, it won't go past like a G. Mm. So I'm feeling like, and I still look good. So I'm feeling like high fashion for me has always been very unnecessary, you know? And also it's very inaccessible. So it's just something to like glamorize over and just move on with my life. Like I'll watch the shows and move on.
Especially when you do more research on the fashion industry. I don't want to like, you know, out them. Like, there are a lot of dark sides to the fashion industry, because you know when you think about sweatshops and think about the amount of water that's used to manufacture these things, the amount of jet fuel that's wasted, just
flying outfits,
and the amount of waste. Because did you know that, you know, I love how the thrifting culture has gotten people are thrifting more, but thrifting counts for less than 10% in climate change. Imagine,
for real,
because less than 10% of clothes are actually sold, resold or reworn. People don't really keep their clothes, and I feel like it's because they don't have the education and the knowledge on how to buy things that fit with their style and the clothes they already have. Because, yes, you know, when you sometimes I talk to my friends and they tell me, I bought this dress and I've never worn it again. Why? Like, yeah, why? Literally, resell why? It. Resell it or, you know, upcycle it. There are so many things you can do with a piece of clothing. And, you know, clothes are not biodegradable.
Oh, yeah.
These things are, you know, they have to even be burnt. And that's harming the environment. We're not doing good.
I feel like, what do you call it? I saw, whenever I watch these Vogue interviews, I'm always like, now that I've, you know, have more knowledge on climate change and all of that, I see these Vogue interviews of like, oh, Emma Chamberlain is going to the Met Gala, something like that. And then, like, I'm seeing how, you know, you've gone to Italy to get your feet in, and then that same, like, outfit is flown in a private jet to LA so that you can wear, like, that you're wasting so much fuel. You're not even wasting fuel. You're literally harming the environment, so you can wear this one outfit time, and then you'll never wear it again.
Imagine. Why? I think it, you know, it, most of the things that happen are mostly classist. It's trying to show that you're of an upper class. Because, you know, if you're wearing $1,000 dress for one night, you know, it kind of shows that you've made it. But, you know, at what cost? It's not
you know,
that cool.
And it's like, not that deep.
Yeah, like, it's not that deep.
It's really not.
I'm sure the stylists, the designers can make dresses that are way much cheaper and way more accessible. Because, you know, you don't need to be flying a dress from one continent to another.
Just to be one for one night.
Why can't they do the fitting and then, you know, they just send it to the house or something?
Like, exactly.
Why do you have to waste so much
fuel? You know, and it's these people, as you said, these people who are making these clothes are severely underpaid. And because the fashion industry is very, like, it's very for show, and there's not so much money behind it, unless you're the people behind management, behind, or like, you won't see that money coming. And also for models, like, I saw how Vogue doesn't even pay you, like, to be on their covers. Yeah, Vogue does not pay you to be on your covers.
Damn.
So you just go there, 3 hour photo shoot, you know, and obviously for you to even have achieved the level of status, so you to be in a Vogue cover, like, you must have been through a lot.
Definitely.
And also there's this toxic culture now with models and all of that of, like, not eating, and it comes, like, a lot of eating disorders.
Yeah. It goes back to... The beauty standards and diversity. Because, you know, if you go for a casting and you know the head of that casting is more inclined to a size 4 type of girl, you're going to your manager or if you're independent, you're going to want to be closer to that standard. So you're going to start starving yourself and all that.
You're
and
basically it's like policing your own body.
All of you are, we are all beautiful. We don't need to subscribe to one standard. Whether
that's
you're
true.
Actually, these sizes don't even mean anything. They are just to help designers manufacture the clothes.
That's
but
very
they,
true.
If you're a size 4, if you're a size 16, it doesn't matter. You're still beautiful. So it's, yeah, it's a very toxic thing. It's still happening, but it's not as rampant as it was, especially in the early 2000s, where everyone, you know, everyone just wanted to be skinny. Everyone had to be skinny.
And there was a rise of, like, bulimia, like, very many eating disorders, especially in the U.S., because everyone wanted to fit that beauty standard. Everyone wanted to look like the kind Bella Hadid and, you know. And right now, I feel like I'm glad we are destroying these narratives because they're very harmful to yourself. You do not need to be a size 4 for you to look and feel beautiful.
Definitely.
You know, there are so many, clothes choices out there that, you know, you can fit in and look nice. There's this influencer, TikTok influencer, I've forgotten her name. She does like it's kind of like a trend that she does, like, oh, is this like, are these clothes
trendy or is she just skinny?
Oh yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And she always eats. She's
definitely
all her feats have always eaten. So I'm just there like, I feel like we've reached a point where we need to destroy those fucking narratives. And you know, you look good. You get
we're
out. Be confident.
Yeah.
Be confident in the way you are. Also, speaking of like expensive clothing, I'd have no problem wearing dupes of other clothes, of like expensive clothing. Like if it's a fake Balenciaga bag that I've gotten for $15 on AliExpress, I am going to wear it. Like
Definitely. I feel like the whole dupe thing is also classist.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if manufacturers and designers are making bags that are over $1,000, and there's another designer who can just mimic that same design and make that bag.
I said sustainable.
Yeah,
bag.
Why shouldn't you?
Like, you know, why shouldn't you get your fake Gucci? You know.
Yeah, as much as, okay, there's also a flip side to that. Because, you know, the more counterfeit things that are being made, the more the original manufacturer gets discouraged and stops manufacturing.
Because
I don't know if you know that the only Converse store in Kenya shut down because, you know, there are too many counterfeits in Kenya.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, they can't compete with them. They can't compete with them. And it's like, okay, I feel like it's kind of
it was injunction, I think so. I remember
it shut down.
Going there and then hearing 7,000 for Converse, then going to Bata and seeing there for 900, and you're like,
see, definitely,
I'm not going to waste my money on 7,000 shilling Converse because why? Or even go to like Kicks Kenya, all these people, and then you find for what, to like 1,500, something affordable. So yeah, I understand you there. Yeah,
it's kind of a gray line, but you know, if my friend was telling me, if you like something and you have the means to save towards it, why not just save for that particular purchase to treat yourself? Because, you know, it also teaches you discipline.
That's very
and
true.
And you also appreciate that thing more. Like if let's say I see those Prada loafers and they're like $70, you know, I have to save for a few months.
70.
But when I that's just an example.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
an example. But when I get them, hey, I'll feel so nice, man.
Oh,
and I'll cherish
days.
Them
that's
more.
Very
I'll want
true.
Them I'll want them to last for years. So I don't know. I actually do not know where I stand on that. It's
on
a very
high fashion.
Gray line. Yeah.
Same, because also like if you look at my Pinterest boards, there's a very crazy mix of like very thrifted fashion and then extremely expensive high fashion. So I also don't know where I stand on that because, as you said, like I will work hard to get that dream like Kelly like briefcase, and I'll want to wear it everywhere, and I'll want to, like, you know, because it will make me feel good. It will make me feel like I've achieved something. Basically capitalism. But like, you know,
definitely, yeah.
if I, yeah, with high fashion, I also don't know where I stand. I don't fully support it because, as you said, sweatshops and it's destroying the environment, but also because I'm born in this very capitalist showing off era on Instagram, I can't help to aspire to have those
definitely
things.
Definitely, yeah.
You know,
when you look into the future and what you want to have and what you want to achieve, there's always some sort of financial independence or some financial validation
that
you want
true.
To have. And that's why, you know, we're saying, when we get enough money, this is what we're going to buy. This is what, like, it's always a rat race. Once you get more money, you want more things.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We found it here. We don't know how to break it.
Someone was saying yesterday on TikTok, like, it's easier for the world to, like, end in a physical state than for capitalism to ever end. Because it's just too indoctrinated into us, the way to ever live.
Money makes the world go round.
Literally. So now, let's get into, like, the fashion scene in the Kenyan context. And I feel like you have more to say about than me, obviously. So, yeah, tell me about, like, that.
In the Kenyan context, I love it. It's so empowering. It's so beautiful. It's so different. It's so creative. People are breaking down boundaries, as you have said. They are thinking more, you know, global space, globally.
Exactly.
They're thinking globally about, you know, styling, designing. I follow so many designers and stylists and, you know, I love seeing how they think as well. And you can definitely see this is someone who has bigger plans. This is someone whose creativity knows no bounds. They are always thinking outside the box. And I love that. However, I also feel like there is a bit of gatekeeping or kind of, I don't know, because
I was about to get into that as well.
Uh-huh. As much as the, what's this thing called? The Paris Fashion Week was going on. There was also a Nairobi Fashion Week.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, if you compare how many people heard about the Nairobi one and the Paris one. And the Paris one is global. And, you know, the one in Nairobi is in Nairobi, literally in my city. I did not hear anything about it.
I am also hearing the first time. Like,
you see, like, people this is the first don't time know about it. And it's like, how are we going to, you know, uplift Kenyan stylists, Kenyan tailors, Kenyan designers, if we are not giving them that platform to even attend? Because, you know, I'm not saying that, like, I wanted to showcase, like, my designs and all that, but it would be good to even see about it on the internet. So it's like, who are these people being invited for such things? And why isn't it something that is public knowledge? Like, why aren't we even seeing billboards about it?
That's
you
very
know,
true.
Why isn't it in the news? Like, why is it not common knowledge?
Kenya, I feel like, has a very crazy gatekeeping culture.
Why are we gatekeeping? You know,
it expands to every single, like,
industry
to the sense that even, like, with jobs you have to get connections.
Man,
with even hey. This podcast game, there's literally three that everyone knows about and they uplift each other and the rest of us are just in
You're
the
just
dark
there.
And oh, like yeah. even when you see that in the it's even the music industry, you can see that in the fashion industry as you've said. And I feel like it's this very cool kid mentality that people need to throw in the trash, because all of us are in our own spaces and trying to create something as creators. And so you gatekeeping because you've reached the top doesn't make any sense, because remember, when you are back there, people didn't gatekeep for you. People opened opportunities to you for you to reach where you are right now. And so if you're, let's say, in the fashion industry, I'm guessing, like, you're inviting, you know, a few Kenyans and a bunch of white people to come and see.
Right, man.
You know,
when,
like,
will we be free of that? Like,
when will my niggas be free?
Why do we like holding Zungus to such a high standard? Bro, they literally colonized us. They should,
exactly.
We should not even be wanting to,
we should be gatekeeping from them.
Exactly. Because that's what they do. They just attend those functions. They steal ideas and then they go back
implement
to Burberry.
Them. Exactly. Exactly.
And then you're just sad there. Your design was taken by Prada and you weren't even paid. Well, yeah, what you won't say anything. It's literally kind of your issue.
And also, with art, there's so much underappreciation and copyright and so many things. Like, I saw this artist. There's this mall along Mombasa Road. Mm. There's this artist who had, like, made some designs. And then, do you know how crazy it is that he was, like, going, like, past that mall and he's seen his designs all over the, like, all over that mall's walls. And he's like, damn, when did this happen? You know, like, there's so much underappreciation for art. So those people who've made it in that artistic space, not really made it, but just gained, like, money and influence in that artistic space, you gatekeeping doesn't work and doesn't really, it doesn't work and it doesn't really benefit anybody. You know, like, be open to expressing and lifting other people who not really are behind there, but just generally everybody, because we're all just trying to make it at the end of the day. True. And just trying to produce something that is valuable. No, you know, just trying to bring out something that's valuable to us, to the rest of our world, for, you know, scrutiny. So, like, don't make it harder for the rest, for, you know, for your own people.
Definitely. However, I just like to, you know, play devil's advocate a bit.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. Maybe the reason why, you know, this podcast, artists, musicians, all that kind of gatekeep is because, you know, when you reach some certain point of recognition, you don't really know who to trust. So it's better to, you know, trust someone who you've never, I mean, who you're used to, who you've always had partnerships with, because, you know, you don't want to really risk it. So I think it's not, maybe they don't gatekeep purposefully. Maybe it's more of them not wanting to take that risk. You know,
of like risking where they've reached to be exploited by somebody else.
Exactly.
I understand that. But also, if, like, you're selling your clothes to your friends, you know, like, what market are you growing, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Like,
true.
That whole risk of creating is putting yourself out there.
Definitely, I love you that, know? Yeah.
So it's really doesn't, it's very counterintuitive when you don't do that, when you, like, just advertise with your friend. That's why personally I've kind of reached a space where I was very, like, comfortable with my very few viewers, because they just used to be my homies who are listening to my podcast. And so now I've reached a space where I'm just there, like, I need people with different perspectives, and I need to, like, put myself out there more so that I can develop even further. Because once you get scrutiny from people who do not have any love or do not even know you, that's definitely the best scrutiny, because they don't have any affiliation with you, so you get to grow as a person even more. So that's my advice to those creators who are sort of getting, not sort of getting, they are gatekeeping. Like, yes, you have made it, and yes, your friends have made it, so they can, you can uplift each other. But if you don't put yourself out there, is it really art? Is it really what you think you should be doing?
Definitely.
You know.
Okay, yeah, I resonate with that. I actually love how you said that you prefer scrutiny from someone who doesn't know you, and I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I was telling my friend that I feel happier when someone who doesn't know me at all takes their time to comment on my reel than my friend.
That's because very true. My homie will be there for me always.
Definitely. They're supporting me, but, you know, this person has no bias whatsoever. They
exactly.
don't know me at
no
all.
No affiliation whatsoever with you.
Genuinely like what I do. So it goes to show that you should always push yourself out there. You should always keep getting yourself out of your comfort zone. You know, try different things, because, you know, 2023 is the year to be known. To make it.
Exactly.
And you won't make, you can never make it with the same patterns that you started with.
Of a change, you have to embrace change.
You have to embrace change always.
And that's, I feel like even that change is so, it's just a must. It just has to happen. Even like if I didn't change my style, there's so many parts of me that have remained in that same mindset I was in the
definitely,
past.
Yeah.
You know, like me entering this new era of me thrifting clothes, of me consistently, you know, going to like Pinterest, not to copy, but to just get ideas of how I want to look like, and then going outsourcing and just, you know, there's so much. I feel like retail therapy for me, and I don't mean retail therapy at shopping at this very big retail stores, because child, who has the money? But anyways, you know, going to like think twice and then getting myself like a bunch of nice clothes has always been, it's so calming. And then I now make fits by myself in my room at night. It's like,
it feels so good, man.
It's so nice. Or like, even when I'm in a hurry going somewhere and just there, like, I'll do this, this and that. And then I just go with it. And you're told, oh, you look so nice. You're like, oh, wow. Thank you. Clothes are like an outer extension of who you are. So, you know, don't be lazy with it.
Get out of your comfort zone. Exactly. You know, do a little matching. Make yourself look nice.
Don't be a boring person. Yeah, you know, don't be boring. Don't be boring. There's so much to your personality that you can express. So you do it. You feel like, if you feel like, you know, you want to wear certain things, just, you know, you do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to ask a question. Who are your like style inspirations, locally, internationally? You've mentioned your mom.
Yes, my mom. Number two, my friends. Mm-hmm. I also, you know, when you change your style, you attract people like you.
That's very true.
Who dress like you. So my friend Priscilla, my friend Shailene, my friend Junette, my friend Shania. Those are creatives as well.
I know Junette, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For stylist, I'm not quite sure if that's her name, like if that's her real name, but she's called something Jerry. There's also, who is Joram? There's also Luca, such a Luca, good stylist. Yeah. I also look up to Wizkid stylist. I've forgotten her name, but it's a lady and she's white. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think I saw a video of her.
Yeah, the Apple Music one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. So what's your typical like go-to? Okay, I'm going to give you a different situation, mm-hmm. and then you're going to tell me what you'll pick from your closet and what mm-hmm. you won't go to your closet.
Okay.
It's late at night. You are just chilling. You're mm-hmm. watching Netflix. You're eating. Your friend is like, kuna mzinga, kuja. You know, you come the way you are. Mm-hmm. So what are you picking up from the closet? You have 10 minutes.
It also depends on where we are going. Are we going to a club or are we going to the house?
Alchemist.
We're going to Alchemist. Okay. So number one, it's going to be cold. Ladies, we need to free ourselves from the freeze and shine thing. Like, it's not worth it. It's 3 a.m, you're freezing, you have a cold. Nah, if you know you're going out, please just carry a jacket, babe. So number one, I'd pick a leather jacket, really long one, so that I'm warm, or a fleece jacket. Mm-hmm. So I'm building my outfit around that. If I'm going to Alchemist, I'm also a really big tomboy. So, you know, if I'm going to the club, I'm not gonna wear heels. I love to dance. I need to be feral the club. I'm gonna wear sneakers, boots, or loafers. For the pants, it depends as well. I'd wear probably jeans, like baggy jeans, or khakis.
Mm-hmm.
Then for the top, I'd, you know, since I'm going to a club, then I'll wear a crop top, you know, just to
some spice.
Yeah, some spice. That's how I go.
I feel like for me, if in that situation, the first leather coat I see, grabbing it.
Yeah. Jacket.
Exactly. Kwanzaa. Because as you said, the cold is real. Like,
man,
as
the
in,
cold is real,
and it's
bro.
Not worth
wow,
it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's really not.
You are going to freeze.
Literally. And it's the thing is, even the club, you're not drinking like a lot, and you know, drinking like kind of makes you feel warm and all of that.
Yeah.
So you need to be warm. And then leaving the club is when the cold will hit you.
Yeah, the cold will hit you and
It's not worth it.
Your home out apata, see
worth it. See worth it. I remember the home I got in NSG because I'd gone out. I think that was COVID though. That wasn't Homa.
That was COVID. So many people got COVID from that.
That was COVID. Anyways, mine leather jacket, a really tight black t-shirt, because I feel like once you've worn an oversized leather jacket, I don't want an oversized shirt as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So a nice tight extra proportions, and then nice jeans. I am very much against skinny jeans. I feel like they look weird, you know. And as a guy, I have like. Okay, that's that. As a guy, I have like big thighs, so like I need proportions. So I feel like a bit of a baggy jeans, and then boots, and then I go on with my life. Yeah. Honestly,
nice.
Yeah. Second scenario, it's coast. Mm-hmm. It's New Year's.
Nice.
You've gone for New Year's dinner, and New Year's not even New Year's dinner. New Year's just basically whatever you're going through in New Year's. Mm-hmm. What are you wearing?
Nice. So number one, coast practicality.
It's hot, exactly.
So I'm gonna wear like sandals. I like back in stock sandals. I love how they fit, and I love how, you know, you can adjust them according to your feet.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd wear a short as well. Then I'd wear a bikini inside, because, you know, sometimes you just decide to swim. Yeah, you
it's
can just
cost.
Decide to swim.
It's honestly cost.
So I do a bikini inside, and then now the bikini top will be now my top.
Mm-hmm.
And then a hat. No, is it? It's at night. Okay, not no hat. Just shades.
Just shades.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a nice look. That's a nice look for coast. I feel like I wanted to say same lol. I feel like mine would be sandals, because closed shoes in coast doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's
to
also
me.
Not healthy.
Yeah, exactly. For your feet.
Like,
they need to
not
breathe.
Healthy.
It's really not that humidity is not healthy. So basically it would be sandals. The two striped sandals, those ones. And then, you know, give a little white lotus. I like weirdly, I like a flowy trouser, like a flowy linen trouser. And then a really like light shirt. Like it's not a really bottom up, just I battled it till like, you know, that's the three. So your chest is out and you're free. And then a nice necklace, very few jewelry, because you don't want that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then shades is a must.
Yeah, shades is a must.
It's a must. It's such a must. Ha. So last scenario, I'm trying to think of one, lol. It was in my head. I had three scenarios. What was it? Oh yeah, you're being called out for, it's either an event to kind of like celebrate you as a stylist, or like, let's make it very practical, you're going to a graduation party.
Ooh,
for your friend.
Nice. I love going for graduation parties, because I can mix like streetwear and casual and formal.
Exactly.
So I'd wear this exact outfit I wore for my friend's graduation. She's called Taylor. I wore a blazer, and then the belt of the blazer, I made it a tie. Then I wore a black top, black pants, black, what are they called? Like khaki. Okay, they weren't khaki, but they were office pants, basically. And then white sneakers.
Oof.
Yeah.
I see the vision.
Yeah.
I see the vision. I think I saw you posted it.
Yeah,
it was a brown blazer.
Yeah, definitely.
No, you ate that. You ate that. You ate that.
Definitely. Because, you know, me and my friends were a bit too late for the graduation ceremony.
As Kenyans are.
So I wanted to wear something, you know, formal but still practical, because we're working a lot. We're going to be, you know, partying a lot.
Because, after that, niku kunyo.
I didn't want to wear dress shoes that would, you know, feel uncomfortable, because that day was extremely hot.
Deck was hot as hell.
Man.
I graduated on December. And so, obviously, because I was the one graduating, I had to be full suit.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I never mind, because also I'm a lawyer. So, that, you need to mezoya. You know, I had to flex on your outfit. So that's like, that was what I was wearing. Like, it was a full blue suit. But, like, I hate coats. I don't like coats with a suit. I would rather wear a half coat, tie, and just,
Half coats, nice. Yes.
Nice. And then if you're wearing a coat, I'm wearing an unconventional outfit with it. So now if I've gone out like for a graduation party for my friend, now I'll take the suit's coat, a nice black t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then I'll make sure I tuck it in, a nice belt, like a showing off belt. Because you don't, you have to keep it, you know, I don't want it to be like a full black belt. Just, you know, something that's out of like a very trendy belt,
mm-hmm.
black like pants or even corduroy pants, mm-hmm. and then just wear the sneakers I'm wearing right now or nice boots. Basically, that would be it.
Nice.
You know, or even be unconventional and put like the if it's a black t-shirt, just put a tie on top of it.
Yeah,
just,
I like that.
You know, be out of like just be creative, be interesting, be an interesting person.
Yeah.
And then have some shades on the back. You do not during the party for when you're leaving.
Yeah,
exactly. I never traveled without like an arm sling bag. Like I have three of them. I never leave the house with them because I feel like with pockets, my stuff, I'm a very messy person and I'm outside, you know?
What? I feel like, especially designers, we need to stop not making pockets for women's trousers. Like we need the pockets. So that's why I even started buying men's pants.
Because
I know the pockets, like these shorts I'm wearing have four pockets and they are so deep. So I'll just carry a bag for my phone. But otherwise, if I was not going somewhere far, I wouldn't even carry a bag. And it's very practical. I like it. So I just don't like that.
The fact that women don't have the pockets are very small.
So many pants that don't have pockets. And it's like, what if I didn't have a bag? I know that's the assumption. You know, ladies always have purses, but come on.
Come on, be for real.
It's very impractical.
It is,
what
exactly.
What if I need to put my ID or, you know, cash?
Exactly.
I need a pocket, even if it's two.
I need a pocket. I feel like I've never, like now that I see that, and I'm checking my privilege, that I've never had that issue. Because I'm the one who's clumsy, but if I'm not in a clumsy state or if I'm not in a drunk state, I can put everything, my house keys, my wallet, my phone.
Men be putting everything in their pocket. Everything fits,
literally,
man.
Everything in your pocket. You put even your car keys, you put in even your lip balm, everything has fit so well. So I feel like, if it wasn't for my clumsiness, I would still be... doing, you know, wearing the whole, like, you know, I wouldn't go out with a sling bag. I've gone to the women's shop to shop for cardigans because literally I don't find the men's side having cardigans, so I always go to the women's side and have because their women's cardigans are just the best and they fit me really nicely. So I'm just
nice.
Like, because I don't have such broad shoulders, so I'm like, I always go to the women's shops like side for cardigans, also sweater sometimes. Also,
I think the designers are a bit lazy with designing male cardigans because I get
that's
what you're
very
saying.
True.
I get what
there's
you're
no
saying.
Flavor
yeah, there's
with
no
male
flavor.
Cardigans.
The male cardigans are just like blue, gray,
literally, and
like boring,
it's just
colors.
Very boring colors. And then you go to the women's side, you see some with flowers, with patterns.
Yeah.
You're like, this is what I want
I
to wear exactly. Yeah. So yeah. If you don't find cardigans in the women's side, I'm very sorry, ladies. That's
it's
on
okay.
me.
It's okay. If you don't find men pants, it's me.
I'm the issue. It's me. I'm the problem. So, I think we're getting towards the end of the podcast.
It was so much fun.
I loved it. I wanted to keep this episode short and sweet, you know? Mm-hmm. I love when you savor moments and like, you know, just a short and sweet moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, I'll end it with two questions. The first one would be, your advice to someone who's listening and they're kind of like in rares with like the way they want to style themselves, what would you advise them
to, number one, find what you're comfortable with. It's so evident when someone is wearing something and they're not comfortable in it. Like, you know, when you're wearing a dress that doesn't fit you.
And it affects your whole mood.
Yeah, the whole day you'll just be like, okay, I hope no one sees, like no one can notice. You know, so all the clothes that you feel comfortable in, keep. If you haven't worn something in the last 6 months, you're not going to wear it again. Now just donate it, because you're cluttering up your closet, and that's where you can find someone saying, I have nothing to wear, and that closet is full.
Oh my God, that is so me. Hate it so much. Instagram closet sale coming soon.
Definitely. You sell them or you donate them.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a decluttered closet, it's easier for you to go out and look for what you're wearing. My mom always tells me that never go shopping without, you know, an agenda.
Without intention.
Yeah, without intention. Don't say that now you're going to think twice to just shop. No, if you've decluttered your closet and you see you don't have enough pants, write pants down.
That's so true. Yeah. Because you go to a store and you just circle there for like 15 minutes.
Exactly. Especially
and you're not finding anything.
If you really like, personally, I get really distracted with clothes. Like, if I go somewhere and I'm buying something and I just see something totally out of my budget, totally out of my intentions, I'm going to buy it.
And then I won't wear it.
That's crazy. You see?
Like, I'm also falling to that.
If you need pants, write pants. If you need jackets, write jackets. If you need shorts, whatever it
is. And even make sure it's like specific.
Yeah, because
I remember,
specific.
Like, I'm a very, like, I have very loud cardigans, very loud sweaters. So I just like a nice black t-shirt.
Nice.
Like, you know, that's very plain.
You should also think about the colors that complement you and the colors you already have in your closet.
That's very
true. Because don't go buy a red jacket and you have nothing you're going to wear it with. You know, look at your closet and say, I don't have a black jacket, and I know a black jacket will give me 10 outfits. Buy it.
Buy it.
Yeah.
That's very true. This will go with this.
Yeah.
I need this.
If you have mostly blue stuff, because everyone has favorite colors. You know, there are colors.
What's yours?
My favorite color is pink.
Oh, it's even in your heart right now. I love that.
So I have pink stuff. So, you know, I put a halt on that. Or I buy stuff that will go with pink, like blue, purple, yellow, colors like that. And you should also, if you really, really, really want to elevate your style, go research on the color wheel. And once you see the color wheel, colors that are opposite each other on a color wheel are complementary. And colors that are adjacent to each other are, I want to say the word is indigenous, but I don't think so. There's a word for it, but they go together. So, you know, if you want a pop of color, purple and green are opposite each other on the color scheme. So, you know, if you really want to stand out, you can do that. If you want,
you can just do a monochrome look.
Exactly. You can also do a monochrome look. You can do the whole classic black and white, blue and black, stuff like that.
Black is your best friend, but also we need to explore more, because I was looking at my closet the other day and I'm just there like, wow, it's just black shirts. So I was just there like, no, I need to experiment more. So people need to deviate more further from black and just get into other colors.
Yeah, I think those are my tips. Those really helped me, and they continue to help me when I'm shopping and styling.
Yeah. Second question. I feel like now more questions are just popping up in my head. So anyways, we'll just ask them. Second questions. Where would you advise people to shop from?
Hey,
this is
guys,
now where the plug comes through.
Think twice. There are so many think twice franchises
around you,
and every day you can even follow them on Instagram. Every day they have a maximum price. So like on Friday, everything in the store will be 25 bob. Please, if you go there with 1,000, you know how many clothes you're going to get.
A little and whole closet.
Your whole closet, man. Even Gikomba, even what is this place called? Damn, I forgot. Oh, toy market. As long as you're thrifting, because you can get such good clothes when you're thrifting, just to go there to thrift. Especially, also there's this place in town called Budget Wear. Think Twice and Budget Wear are really good, because they even have changing rooms. So you're going to buy something that fits you.
It's the whole retail experience, but thrift.
But thrift, basically. And it's professional, you can pay via M-Pesa, cash. It's really nice, guys.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. You'll get such cool things there.
What would you advise online thrift stores? Do you have any?
Yes, online thrift stores, Neat Gums, Thrift Boulevard, NBO Archives, and Grand Store.
You've heard it. Heard it from the stylist. Yeah. You've heard it. Definitely. Don't say I've never plugged you with anything.
Yeah.
And last question. I feel like with what, when you're styling yourself,
mm-hmm.
like, what should always be in mind as a person? Like, now that you've entered an area that you've developed in your personal aesthetic, what should you keep in mind? What words should you tell yourself when you're shopping or you're finding, like, that style of your own?
Well, what words you should tell yourself? I'd say comfort, practicality, and what's the word? Longevity. Now,
emphasis on the longevity.
Yeah, longevity. How long are you going to wear this? Make sure whatever you're buying is of good quality. It doesn't have holes. It doesn't have tears. You know, you can wear this for a really long time. It's also something I've gotten from my mom. And it also bugs her a lot because now I get attached to clothes that I don't want to give away because I've had them for so long and I still wear them. But she's like, why are you still wearing this? You've been wearing this since primary. But yeah. I'm like, may I still like it? I'm going to wear it forever until it tears. So, yeah, comfort. You should always be comfortable. Please, please, please. Don't compromise something just because, you know, you want to fit in. You know, don't buy something that's not your size and say you're going to lose weight and wear it. Babes, please. It's not worth it because you're never going to wear it.
That is so true. Let me tell you, I used to do that myself. Like when I was in that process of now losing weight, I'm like, that one, I'm going to buy it and I've never worn those clothes.
Manze, now you see, life. You've wasted money. You've wasted material.
Literally.
Just buy something that's your size. And I promise you, when you're comfortable, everyone can see how good you look.
Literally.
It just gives another oomph to your outfit. When you're comfortable, you just look so good.
Literally.
Practicality. Don't buy something that, you know, is not really in your style. And, you know, it, just because it's trending. Don't buy something that, let's say you're shopping for the winter or like the cold season. Don't buy something that you're not going to be layering with, that's not going to keep you warm, you know. Also, when you're dressing, don't wear, okay, as much as, like, I don't know, people have their preferences, but mm-hmm. if it's hot, don't wear a hoodie. Like, please, like, why are you wearing a hoodie?
For
it's,
what?
It's like 24 degrees outside and you're wearing a hoodie.
Be comfortable just within yourself.
Just wear, if you want to layer up, you can wear a t-shirt and a shirt. You know, you're covered, but it's still hot. You need to give your body the right temperature it deserves.
Exactly.
If it's cold, you don't have to freeze and shine, babe. Like, it's not worth it. Just, if you want to wear that dress, wear some stockings underneath, you know, some boots.
And an oversized jacket that will help you.
Don't suffer because of the feet. Even if drip is forever, be a bit more practical.
Drip is forever, but your lungs.
Yeah, but your lungs, your health.
Not really. You need to take care of that.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been a very fun time, honestly.
Yeah, I've had so much
to fun. The fact, like, this was very sporadic, like, it was just, I like it, you know, like,
fluid.
You know, Caesar said the stolen moments are always the best, you get, like, as in just flowed so well, and I'm so happy you came to the podcast to talk.
Man, thanks for having me.
Anytime. So tell the people where they could find you, you know, where they need, you know, where they can see you.
You can find me on Instagram, Annette Mishatha, on TikTok as well. Yeah, that's why I am.
She has amazing reels. Reels are always so cool. And I see you put effort into it, and I love that for you.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, basically, you know, putting effort and just creating something, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. Annette has been an amazing guest today.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like I don't vibe like this. Like, because most of the people who come are my friends. So, you know, people I've already, like, known for a very long time. Yeah. And so, you know, we have just been internet friends, actually.
But it's nice
that we've like sat down and had a really nice talk. I've really loved this interaction.
I hope
people have gotten something from it.
Some knowledge.
And we've plugged you. Don't say I've never plugged you. You know, we've literally plugged you with shops. We've literally plugged you on how to style and accessorize yourself. And you know, just be comfortable. My whole vibe has always been be who you are, to, you know, and no fault to anyone else, just be who you are and just express who you are the way you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say. That's a wrap, baby.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
See you guys later. You know the vibes. Follow the IG. It's a TGZ podcast. Thank you guys for the followers. You know, it's been really nice. I just created this page like 2 weeks ago, and I'm really loving the interactions I've been having with people. It's really nice. Thank you guys so much for, you know, just supporting me and, you know, always flowing with me and my vibe. I hope you've enjoyed episode 7. Love ya. See ya. Bye.